good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is my outlaw co-host, Benjamin Solak, who
what?
On the way to recording this podcast got himself a traffic citation. And I just want to say, on behalf of this podcast, that we do not condone lawbreakers here on Locked On NFL Draft. Ben, what do you have to say for yourself?
We had a meeting at 7 in which I had to do a presentation, and I left Pittsburgh a little bit late, and so I had to make up some time if I was going to get home in time for the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the good state of Ohio, which only source of revenue is forcing people onto its turnpike and then attacking them with speed traps. Between the good states of Michigan and Pennsylvania, where people actually want to be, unlike Ohio, where no one wants to be, not only exacted toll money from me, but also pulled me over because I was going a little bit fast.
Tell it to the judge, my friend.
Yeah.
Tell it to the judge.
The cop who pulled me over was very kind. She was awesome, and she was basically just like, "Hey," she was like, "Hey, you are driving back home for the holidays?" And I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "You trying to get there on time?" And I was like, "Ah, okay." So she was very kind. It's one of those tickets where, like, because like I was Michigan in Ohio, like we don't know. I don't know the price of it yet. I have to like, go online to find out. It's a little suspense. Yeah, drum roll. How much of an idiot am I? I had to do my presentation from my laptop in rest area parking lot on my phone hotspot because I didn't make it home in time.
If you and I had a YouTube channel, we would do the Ben's ticket price reveal live on YouTube for all to see. But it's not a YouTube channel.
I would not be a fan, and probably the state of Ohio would not appreciate that as well.
You're just sharing your screen, giving away all the information. All right, so brand new I almost said Mock Draft Monday, but that's not true. It is a midweek mock draft edition of the podcast, and we teased it on Monday's episode. This was going to be fun. The draft order is so much different this week than it has been in weeks past. There's a lot of different teams that are going to have guys on the board that they haven't before, and for some that's going to be good, for some that's going to be bad, but man, we're going to get to it. We're going to get to all the teams in the first round, and even throughout the draft as well for the teams that don't have first round picks. So we'll give you guys a little bit of a shout out at the end. We'll make sure to give you a little scope on some options that you have for your team. But before we do that, a message from our friends over at Pepsi saying that this football season is going to be different, and Pepsi is here to get us ready for game day no matter how we are watching this season. Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch. Pepsi made for football watching.
Watch.
Ben, you want to go first or me? Odds or evens? Eagles got 5, so they're odds. And Bucks have
26.
26!
Good football team.
What? Somebody smack me. This cannot be a reality. All right, so you want to do odds or evens? You want to switch it up?
Lord, I wish I could remember what ones I do, because I never remember. I'll take evens. I'll let you make a choice for Philadelphia, and then I'll criticize you for that.
So we are switching it up. Let's do it. Okay, so you're taking evens. Means I'm taking odds. So at number one overall, Jacksonville Jaguars here. They locked in that number one overall pick thanks to the loss they had this past weekend and the Jets getting on their 2-game win streak. Now they're locked in at number two, but Jaguars, it's no different. For as different as I said that this mock draft was going to be, this pick is not. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence here at the top for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jets at 2. Lawrence already off the board. I am... as always, locked in on Justin Fields as QB2, and I have no intention of
locked in or locked on.
NFL Draft Podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak.
I'm so proud of you.
I understand Wilson's on the table. I understand the appeal. For my money, Fields is the better prospect. I will put him at QB2 for the Jets. If you don't like it, go check out Kyle Crabb's mock draft on TDN, because that had the Jets in a full trade back out of number two overall, which would be thrilling to see. Mm-hmm. But as it is now, they hold pat. We got to get trades involved in here somehow at some point soon. But
right,
Justin Fields at two.
No, we will. I don't really see a point in doing trades in a mock draft when the order is not set yet. And I did one for TDN earlier this year because I was kind of getting a little bit mad scientist with it. You know, I was thinking of
you?
All these different realities.
Mad scientist, yeah. Trades? Mock draft? Explain. I can't believe.
So I got carried away earlier this season, and I really kind of came to the realization as I was reading and going back and forth with a lot of what you guys thought, and I was re-looking at the mock draft, and I'm like, man, you know what? There's just not really a point to doing these full scope mocks with trades yet. Now, if you're picking for a singular team, like if you're drafting for the Atlanta Falcons and you want to see what it's like if they're on the board when they're trading back, I mean, that's a little different. But when you're doing a full mock draft, it's the trades don't really make a lot of sense when you don't know the order yet. And so we are definitely going to open up these midweek mock drafts to where you and I can do some trades in them, but not yet. That's coming. We can't give you guys everything right off the bat. Miami Dolphins, they are picking number three overall here. And speaking of teams that could trade back, shoot, man, Miami's got the Houston Texans pick right now. And if Houston loses this weekend, which they're playing the Tennessee Titans, in which if the Tennessee Titans win the game, they win the AFC South. So it's going to be a big game for them. And the Texans are, well, bad. And so if that happens, Miami locks up this three pick, which is huge because we don't believe that they're going to be picking a quarterback. I think it would be insane for them to give up on Tua, even though they've had the little quarterback carousel that they've played and they've moved him out a little bit. They're still getting him the experience. They're still going to make the playoffs, I believe. And so I don't think they're taking a quarterback. And if that's the case in this draft, this number three pick all of a sudden gets fun, really fun, you know? So this is an opportunity where the draft could totally run through Miami if they are in control of this number three overall pick. Normally, they're picking a little bit later. We have them going wide receiver, maybe linebacker, edge rusher potentially at times, but really those have been the two picks there. I'm going to stick with wide receiver for this one. I'm going to go Ja'Marr Chase because they need the weapons. They've just got to get the weapons on their team. We're seeing that with Tua. Yes, he's been struggling. He hasn't been what he's needed to be, but man, do they need help at wide receiver. So I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase. He's a guy that I have a lot of faith in going to the next level, even with him opting out this year. There are a lot of other prospects where their names come to the forefront because of how they played, but don't forget about Ja'Marr Chase. He was one of, if not the best wide receiver in college football the previous season, and ain't like he got worse. You know, and so he's still a phenomenal talent. So I'll have him going here at number three overall. But Ben, I wanted to throw it to you. Let's say this pick were the Houston Texans. Like, let's say the Texans had this pick.
Wow.
Who are they picking? Who would they pick here at this board?
Wow. Oh, shoot.
I thought this would be a fun little thing. I think it's got to be Penei Sewell, right? Because then you'd have Tunsil on one side, Penei Sewell on the other.
Oh, maybe. They got you're full selling on Titus Howard.
I mean,
you should be full selling. You should have been full selling on Titus Howard before you drafted Titus Howard.
Yeah, you should have full sold Titus Howard before you drafted him. They could also take corner. You know, corner, you and I have gone back and forth talking about
that. That was my first thought, was Farley or Surtain. At three, that's rich. I think you can still move back a little bit and get one of those guys, and then maybe that would be the preferable move. I do think Sewell and Tunsil is an extremely attractive tackle duo.
Yeah.
You do I do ask myself if I think Titus Howard can kick into guard in that situation. We're looking at 6'5", 325. It's not impossible. They just need, like, you're going to make your tackle so good, your guards are still so bad in Houston. So that's what's frustrating there.
But you can upgrade the interior. You know, if you got elite offensive tackles on each side, you can upgrade the interior over the next year or so. I think that's where I'd go. I just wanted to throw that one out.
Sewell or trade back and target a corner. But okay. It's an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
With that said, Atlanta at four on the clock. Never liked picking for Atlanta. I've complained about this many times. I'll take Zach Wilson here, which I very famously said, it's got to be Zach Wilson. I don't want to do it when picking for the Falcons a few mock draft or midweek mock drafts ago.
What a perfect Benjamin Solak quote.
Yeah, it's got to be Wilson, but I don't want to do it.
There wasn't even a but in there. That's what made it such a great quote. It was just, it's got to be Zach Wilson. I don't want to do it. And it was just like one simple sentence.
Matt Ryan is not the problem in Atlanta, but the future for the team must be recognized. The end of Matt Ryan's time there is coming. He's cuttable after the 2021 season. Zach Wilson certainly viewed as pro ready. Could potentially benefit from sitting. Everybody could potentially benefit from some time to adjust to NFL speed. And when you're the main thing for Atlanta here is who on the board is worth four. Given where they are at, the same way that the Texans could sell on Titus Howard, the Falcons could reasonably sell on Caleb McGarry as their right tackle and justify Penei Sewell. But it's not a very good top of the draft this year. It's not a very rich top of the draft. And so the best value you're going to get is quarterback of the future because you don't anticipate drafting top five anytime soon. I mean, look at what they've done under Raheem Morris. Right. They've had a winning record.
Yeah,
they're hanging with the Falcons, or they're hanging with the Chiefs. They're a good team. So you're not going to be top five again. Take the quarterback now, have him for the future.
Philadelphia Eagles are up now at number five, so there's a lot of responsibility here with this pick, as our resident Eagles expert is not the one making it. Ben, tell me why the Eagles wouldn't pick Penei Sewell here.
Because they have Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard both on rookie deals.
Yeah, but how much do you believe in those dudes?
I mean, me personally,
sure.
Think Mailata can be a functional left tackle. High ceiling, sure. If he's ever going to get there, questionable. More starting time will probably help him. I didn't think Dillard was a good prospect, and Dillard's really struggled as a pro. What is interesting in this conversation, however, is Lane Johnson at right tackle is one of the best right tackles in the league when healthy. But he has struggled with health in multiple seasons recently.
Right.
I'll put it to you this way. When the Eagles are picking early, it's not a question of who they will draft. It's a question of who they won't. They will not take Micah Parsons here. Somebody asked a question on Twitter because I had said they won't take Ja'Marr Chase here. It's because they won't view wide receiver as needing a top five pick. They won't view the positional value as appropriate for as long as Howie Roseman is in charge of this draft.
Yeah.
And so when you knock out like Parsons and Waddle and Devonta at this high of a caliber, you're left with Patrick Surtain, Caleb Farley, Greg Rousseau, which if they lose Derek Barnett, they may want to go edge. But I think they view Rousseau as a multi-year project. And Penei Sewell. They would absolutely feel justified taking a tackle this high. So he would be on the table. It just depends on their internal view of Mailata and Dillard, which is tough to suss out.
I'm going to go with Sewell here.
Do it, man.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I hadn't thought of it to this point, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, if he's still on the board at five, and if you're not exactly sure what you're doing at quarterback, but you don't want to draft a third one because you're going to have all those three guys in the room, and then it's just going to be a really awkward situation. And if you're not drafting wide receiver, then I still think that fixing the offense is the number one priority for this team, even with the defense needing upgrades. I'm not sitting here saying that the Eagles' defense is fantastic or couldn't use a premier talent here at number five. I just think that, like, they're basically going to be in a situation next year to where, and correct me if I'm wrong, it just feels like they have to start Carson Wentz. Like, they just have to hope that Wentz is better. And the way that you do that is you hopefully go into the season, you can put Penei Sewell at left tackle, Lane Johnson at right tackle, figure things out of the interior outside of center. So, like, I think that that's almost your best move at this point. That's the best value that you could possibly have. If you're not taking a quarterback, then I think this is it. So I'm going to go with Penei Sewell here for the Eagles at five.
I like it. Like, I the more I'm turning it over in my head, the more I like it.
All right, great. Good thing I'm here.
I also really do want Jordan Mailata to be able to play because he's so much fun to watch. Six, Bengals, no Penei Sewell, big rip.
Big rip.
No Ja'Marr Chase, big rip. Dude, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow back together?
Yo, I mean, it could be. Could
be. It would be so
I didn't let it happen here, but could be.
As it is, when you look at William Jackson on the final year of his deal, and I think that bringing him back would be acceptable. I don't think that's a problem. He's been a fine player over his rookie contract, but I think that he had that initial really good season and since then has been good, just fine. Okay, I think that Jackson as a corner two could be quite nice depending on the success of your corner one. Bengals. Oh, man, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, their defensive coordinator.
I don't know him. Lou, I don't know his name off the top of my head.
It's Lou Anarumo, I want to say. I think it's arugula. Maybe. But anyway, in that approach, you're going to want to have zone man flexibility, for which I like Caleb Farley the most, the corner out of Virginia Tech. Different body types, him and William Jackson, so it was a little bit interesting. But I will take Caleb Farley at 6 for the Bengals.
Guys, you've been sitting there. It's 5:30 p.m. You want Chinese or pizza or froyo, whatever it is. You're craving something as you're sitting on the couch, but you don't want to move anywhere. A game might be coming on, a show might be coming on, or you might just be lazy as heck that day. There is something that everyone can order right to their door using DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you're craving right now straight to your front door. Ordering is super easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose whatever you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. They've got over 300,000 partners in the U.S. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just use the DoorDash app. You can select your favorite local restaurants. Your favorite food will be left right there at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fee with their first order of $15 or more, which, of course, if you listen to this podcast, you know that's easy money. $15 or more, that's easy money around here. When you download the DoorDash app, use the promo code Locked On. All caps, one word, Locked On. That's $5 off and zero delivery fee on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and use the promo code Locked On. So I have the Detroit Lions now at number 7 overall. I am not on team let's get rid of Matt Stafford. I've never been. Like, I understand why Lions fans would be ready to move on. I get it. You've had him for 10 years. The team hasn't been good. They've failed to put a good product around him. And a lot of Lions fans, I'm sure, are just frustrated to the point where they're just like, let's just clean slate. Like, I don't care. Just clean slate this team. I don't want to have to think about it again. But that's an impulse decision, and I'm telling you it's the wrong thing to do. Because Matt Stafford still is a quarterback at only 32 years old that can win in this league. He's got the arm to do it, and when he's healthy, he is still, I believe, capable of being a top 10 quarterback, potentially even top 5 quarterback, although that's kind of a stretch because there's some great quarterback play going on right now. But at least he is definitely a guy that I believe can get you into the postseason and the guy that you could still build a team around over the next 3 to 4 years. So with that, even with Trey Lance on the board, I'm not going with Trey Lance. And because I think that if you are keeping Stafford, which you should then do everything in your power to build the right offense around him, I'm going with wide receiver. I'm going with Devontae Smith. And I'm just forming something here that can be a powerful offense that I know has the capability to be possible with Matthew Stafford's arm. So you got to get somebody new in the building at GM and head coach. You got to mend the relationship with Kenny Golladay. You've got to bring Kenny Golladay back. You got to put Devonta Smith next to him. You got some strong tight ends after that. So you got a good running back room as well. That's a great start to restarting this offense and score some points in this league.
I like it. I like Waddle there too.
I would like Waddle there as well.
I might like Waddle more than Devonta, but I'm not sure. Either way,
You haven't watched college football this year. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, you've been busy.
Offense player of the year.
No, please, you've been going from Pittsburgh and getting tickets. Like, it's fine. We get it. We know.
Yeah. No problem. Okay. Giants at 8.
Okay.
Giants at 8.
I don't know why that was so funny to me.
I'm going to steal an idea from Kyle that I like a lot. Edge is available. Greg Rousseau still on the board. Linebackers in need. Michael Parsons is still on the board. They signed James Bradbury in free agency this year, and it's gone extremely well for them. He's been a lockdown corner one.
Yeah, he's good.
Safety room is full. Xavier McKinney, Julian Love, Jabril Peppers, and a good, promising young nickel in Darnay Holmes. Let's finish the job. This secondary is one good corner two, second outside corner away from being full-on suffocating with 5 to 6 players out on the field. Ideal for the modern NFL. Patrick Surtain out of Alabama. Let's take him, make him corner two. He doesn't even have to handle corner ones. Going to play zone match in that Patrick Graham defense and be successful. Going to play man coverage, which he's accustomed to. Isolated backside, 3-by-1 in Alabama. So Patrick Surtain to the Giants at 8. Make a strength a strength. You're going to have an extremely good secondary. and an extremely good interior defensive line grouping. And that's going to mean you can play with base five defensive backs, nickel six defensive backs, but still be sound against the run because of the strength of guys like Dalvin Tomlinson, Dexter Lawrence, and Leonard Williams. So that is my plan. Patrick Surtain to the Giants.
Carolina Panthers here at number nine, and I was waiting until number nine to say this, but though picks one and two in the draft are currently locked up, the Jacksonville Jaguars have number one and the New York Jets have number two. Picks three through nine right now in the draft order, which are the Miami Dolphins via the Houston Texans, the Atlanta Falcons, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Detroit Lions, New York Giants, and then the Carolina Panthers. All of those teams can still potentially finish number three overall. They all have a chance. There is a reality that can exist where all of those teams could get to number three overall. Now, of course, some are more likely than others, but that's going to make for a crazy weekend this weekend. And that's why I said that this draft order is going to be a lot of fun. And next week's midweek mock draft, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but next week's midweek mock draft is going to be even more exciting than this one because it's going to be the final order. I'm allowed to say that, right? Yeah, y'all already downloaded the podcast, so if you click out, it's fine. We already got the click. It's going to be exciting next week, even more shakeup than I thought that we saw this week. So anyways, Carolina's picking at number nine right now. Trey Lance is still on the board. I think that's the pick. I really do.
Yeah.
If one of the four quarterbacks are still left on the board for Carolina, I think this is the pick. I love Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if he's going to give you or present to you the ceiling that you would want as a quarterback in this league. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that he's going to get you over the mountaintop. For Teddy Bridgewater to become a Super Bowl quarterback for you, or even an NFC champion quarterback for you, the rest of the team around Carolina would have to be so good. Everything would have to be there. The offensive line would have to be in place. They'd have to be getting stellar play out of playmakers on rookie deals. The cap would all have to come together. It would have to be a truly perfect year for everything to come together on both sides of the ball because of just the way that Teddy Bridgewater is as a quarterback. And if that's the case, he can get you there because I do think that he could play well within the structure that he is given. But when it comes to overcoming and when it comes to shortcomings of roster, which is much more realistic than assembling a perfect roster, it's just hard to see him getting you there. And so if you know that that's the case, I know that you had an extra year with him. I know that he's got a three-year deal. I know he has a lot more guaranteed money left after this. But Trey Lance is here. You're picking in the top 10. Go hit your guy. So I'm going Trey Lance number nine.
I wanted Lance to the Broncos at 10. Yeah, I feel like we always get Lance so close to the Broncos at 10.
I know.
Or Broncos wherever, I guess. They're not always at 10. And then we miss it. All right. As it is.
Sorry, they're going to trade for Sam Darnold.
As it is, I'm really big on Carson Wentz to the Broncos, but I'm also very big on Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State to the Broncos. Vic Fangio is a kingmaker for linebackers. Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Roquan Smith, even though Smith's not really good now that Fangio's gone. He helped with his development a lot.
Kingmaker sounds like a sword from Game of Thrones, like a Valyrian steel sword.
What? There's an actual like
Oathbreaker is one of them.
Yeah.
Oathkeeper is Brienne's.
Yes,
I know
which
that.
Which is kind of lame, but it's kind of cool.
What's John's called?
Claw.
Oh yeah, it's just Claw. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try to think of the other one.
Micah Parsons, AJ Johnson, and Josie Jewell playing well. Fangio's putting them in good spots to be successful. Shout out to them. However. You've got I think, opportunity here for some really high-impact play between the tackles, some sub-package rush for Micah Parsons, which is going to be his best deployment in the league. So give him to a Fangio defense, let Fangio make him into a true three-down threat, Micah Parsons to the Broncos.
Dallas Cowboys are up at 11. They'd love an offensive tackle. Penei Sewell is not there. They'd love cornerbacks. Caleb Farley and Patrick Surtain are not there. They'd love quarterback. All four of those are not there. Well, I don't know if they'd love quarterback. I still think they're bringing back Dak, although that's obviously up in the air. That basically brings us to either defensive line or maybe circling back around to offensive line. Would they go with a guy like Greg Rousseau? Maybe a guy like Quiddy Pay? They could do that on the edge. There's not really an interior guy that stands out, certainly here at 11. But for offensive line, there are still players that I really like. And I'm a Christian Darrisaw guy. I really do like Christian Darrisaw.
I'm a Christian Darrisaw guy.
I think that he's had a fantastic year with Virginia Tech. And so I'm going to have him going here to the Dallas Cowboys at number 11. I'm tempted by Rashawn Slater because I think he's got better guard versatility, but I'm just going to go with the better offensive tackle prospect. I'll go Christian Darrisaw here for the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, stop taking players I want.
Chargers pick at 12.
Yeah, so maybe just next time consider my needs.
I won't.
And factor those in.
No, I never will.
All right, Chargers at 12. I'm going to full send it.
Okay.
Kyle Pitts.
Okay, so you're saying Hunter Henry's gone or Hunter Henry is not gone?
So, okay, let's say Hunter Henry is gone. Well, okay. Then Kyle Pitts steps in, and he's immediately the starting tight end, and he can be a primary weapon for you, and both he and Keenan Allen are three-level threats, and that's great. Let's say he's not gone. Mike Williams is up in 2021. Do $15.5 million on his fifth-year option, not for nothing. And then he's potentially in free agency in 2021. If you want to extend Hunter Henry, which will be at a decent market value for his skill set, and then extend Mike Williams, which is going to be a pretty hefty sum for his skill set, while you have Keenan Allen, $15.7 million against cap, $19.2 million, $21.7 million, $25.8 million. I mean, go ahead and be my guest, but that's tricky to me. That's a lot of money poured in. I would want a player on a rookie contract instead of having all three of those contracts. That can be heavy to carry, even with the advantage of Justin Herbert being so cheap. So to give myself future flexibility at pass catcher, Pitts' versatility at both tight end and wide receiver, I'll take him for the Chargers, and that will give me if they lose Henry, certainly gives me a solution, and then it will give me further leverage over Mike Williams' contract when that day comes. And of course, as you get into the later years of Keenan Allen and his contract, it'll give you the weapon of the future.
Minnesota Vikings are up at 13. I could go interior offensive line. We go interior offensive line a lot for them. Could go interior defensive line. I just don't know if an IDL guy is worthy here at 13. This could be a nice trade down spot for Minnesota. I don't think they pick wide receiver. Even though Thielen's getting up there in age, there's not a safety that you're picking at 13. I guess I got to stick with offensive line. Because if I pick Rashawn Slater, then it's what we said before on this podcast. You're getting that guard tackle versatility. I just think he's a good offensive lineman that can play a variety of different spots for you. So might start at left guard for the Vikings right off the bat, and maybe you move him to tackle later. If not, I think you got a really good guard. So I don't, even though I like Rashawn Slater, I don't know. I'm not thinking it's like a home run value for the Vikings, but I guess I just note that this could be a big trade down spot for him. But I'll stick with Rashawn Slater. I'll go Rashawn Slater here. He's still at 13.
I mean, it works.
Okay.
Is a interior offensive lineman potentially maybe a tackle, but maybe an interior offensive lineman worth it at 13?
That's the question, right?
Right, and it's a difficult one, but let's be honest about how Minnesota wants to win football games. They want to run the football.
Of course, sure, yeah.
Right.
Right.
And if that's, like, should that be your approach? Arguably not in the modern NFL. But if it is, you have to do it well to be successful. And to do it well, that's an extremely dumb thing to say. You have to do it very well. And if you can do it very well, you will be ludicrously successful. San Francisco Super Bowl run 2019, example A. You need an investing offensive line to do it. You need to be good at 6-7 offensive line spots in order to do it. And so continuing to pour resources into it, in my opinion, makes sense. Patriots at 14. This time, it was me. I was the one. I confounded myself. Behold the consequences of my actions. No Kyle Pitts available for the Patriots at 14. Also, no quarterback switch. Sucks. However, I've been enamored with this idea of Jalen Waddle to the Patriots. I think that he gives them such a boost in playmaking at Z, at slot, down the field, in the backfield, in short underneath targets, in the punt return game. We know they value special teams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just such a good electricity. It's such a good energy for a team right now that is so lackluster. I just wrote about Cam Newton in that situation. So lackluster on the offensive depth chart. Waddle is, it can be a feature piece any given week because he can be used very differently any given week. So Waddle to the Patriots at 14, I like a fair bit.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm looking up PFF grades before I make this pick because I'm going back and forth on it. Niners are up here at number, what is it, 16, 15? It's 15. Corner is still available. Like, J.C. Horn is still here, but I think that at least I've certainly voiced my concerns that I like J.C. Horn. I really do. I just think we might be getting a little carried away with him. Like, I think that he has had a fantastic season. It's the season that he needed. He's getting a lot of first-round hype, and I think that he should be talked about as a first-round prospect, but he is super physical right now, and he is very much like almost every single play, you could argue that he's holding dudes, you know, and it's just like it worries me. I'm like, okay, are you not athlete enough to keep up with these dudes without really getting your hands on them? Because in the NFL, it's not like that gets easier. And so, like, I think J.C. Horn is a good corner prospect. I'm skeptical about him going like this high. And I know we constantly do that because there's cornerback needs in San Francisco. It could be a really big cornerback landing spot that could have a lot of turnover there. I'm just not so sure I'm into it. Offensive line, though, I think is something that they could certainly upgrade on the interior. And I know McGlinchey has struggled as well. There's Trent Williams has been left tackle, and I think he's been fantastic. But what's his contract situation, Trent Williams? Is he on
a... Trent Williams is an upcoming free agent. Yeah, if they did not extend him, I would eat my shoe.
I mean, he's... I mean, I think I'm with you, but obviously he's going to cost a pretty penny there. I'm going to go offensive line this draft. I'm going to be a little different. I know we typically go J.C. Horn when he's here for them, and he is on the board, but I'm going to go Elijah Vera Tucker because I think that Tucker, like Slater, is a player who I think could step in right away at right guard for the Niners if they need that position badly. And then in the future, whether it's a couple years with Williams or if McGlinchey's play continues to dip, like then potentially Vera Tucker could slide out to tackle as well. So I think that this is some pretty versatility, or this is some pretty good versatility for them. I think this is a sneaky good pick, if I do say so myself, for the Niners. Rashawn Slater also would be, I think, a really good pick for them. So I'll go AVT for them.
AVT. Is that a thing?
It is now. I just did it.
I like it. That's what we do on this podcast. We give people who already have names more names.
Yep.
16 to the Raiders. I feel like we're getting funky with this draft. And usually Quiddy Pay, Michigan Edge, full send for the Raiders at 16. I still think that is overall their best pick and a very good team fit, very good, you know, profile, their prototypes fit, so on and so forth. With that said, watching the Raiders-Dolphins game back, was struck by how stunned I was to see Corey Littleton on the field for the Raiders, remembering the hype that went into his free agency where everybody's like, he's such a good cover linebacker. I remember kind of being like, guys, he's a good cover linebacker, but like, it's tricky here with taking him out of this Rams defense and putting him into the Raiders. He has been a bit of a disappointment. Josh Dubow, I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right, very sorry. One thing to watch out for in the Raiders' final two games, can Corey Littleton be held without a sack, takeaway, or forced fumble? And joined Tahir Whitehead and Miles Burris as Raiders linebackers since 2010 with zero sacks, takeaways, or forced fumbles in a season with at least 600 snaps.
Jeez, that's bad.
Not great.
Holy cow. I know a lot more goes into linebacker play than just that, but like, you got to make an impact on the ball, man.
Right, kind of sucks a little bit. So, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He's not going to play the same position as Littleton is. Littleton's going to continue to play stack. You gave him money. He's going to be there. But if you want to improve your second level pass defense, zone and man, Owusu-Koramoah is the solution, right? He's that going to be that money backer, overhang role, whatever, star, spur, however you like to call it. You see him so successful near the line of scrimmage, playing with instincts, playing with quickness, playing with transitional speed, and you want to bring that onto your defense and shore up what is right now a thirsting pass coverage unit. J.C. Horn, Quiddy Pay, both good picks. I'll go J.O.K. See what I did?
I've seen that one before. We didn't come up with that one, but we will make it mainstream, though. Arizona Cardinals here at number 17. Shoot, I know Hassan Reddick's having a resurgence of a year, and, you know, all due respect to Hassan Reddick, but Greg Rousseau is different. He built different. Literally built different. I'm going to add to the pass rush here. Again, they've got corner on the board. J.C. Horn is still here. Tyson Campbell's here. Eric Stokes is here. Darren Kendrick is here. But I'm going to go defensive line. Rousseau made it to 17, so I'm going to give him to the Arizona Cardinals.
Rousseau, first edge off the board outside of the first half.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
Top half of the first round. But that's wild, right?
I think Kwity Paye is going to be a top 15 pick.
Right, so this edge class is rough. That would truly be something else. I'm at 18 now with the Indianapolis Colts. I'll tell you, I like J.C. Horn here. We've talked about... if Matt Eberflus stays, it's tricky. Because you want a player with more zone instincts and better tape.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, but with that said, J.C. Horn reminds me of what you got out of Rocky Sin at times at Temple. You talk about grabbiness. You talk about physicality to the point where sometimes you sell out. Oh, man, this might actually be my comp.
I was going to say, like, damn, yeah. I didn't think of this before. This is a pretty good one. Right.
Physicality to the point where you sell out. J.C. Horn, I think, is clearly stronger and has better press technique. Remember, Rock had already only played the position for a few years. But they grabbed that player at 34. They valued him. And so I think that that's an indication that they want that degree of physicality. Matt Eberflus's defense tracks loafs and is obsessed with high-quality tackling and obsessed with pursuit plays. Turn on some J.C. Horn film. Kid loves to hit. He likes to run and hit. So that culture fit's going to be good. I'm going to take him at 18 for the Indianapolis Colts. Put him opposite Xavier Rhodes if they bring him back. Terrence Mitchell, Rocky Sin. It's a wide open room, so I think he's a good addition.
19, the Washington football team is up. They would love a quarterback. They need a quarterback desperately, but of course there's not one even close to being available at number 19. And so... I mean, they got to figure that out. They're going to be a team that's desperate to move up to get one if they possibly can. That's what's going to make this such an interesting draft, is you might have teams like the Colts, like Washington, like Chicago, who is right after Washington as well. Wow, these teams actually are 18, 19, and 20. Look at that. In this draft. And so these are all going to be teams that are looking to be moving up for a quarterback if they possibly can. And that's not even to name, you know, New England and San Francisco, who were a couple of picks above them. So I'm going to go wide receiver here. And... do I go super outside the box? All right, do I go... All right, you tell me. I'm not going to tell you what's in the box, but do I go in the box, outside the box, or super outside the box?
Just outside the box.
Okay, all right. Just outside the box, Terrace Marshall at 19.
What was super outside the box?
Kadarius Toney.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So I'm going to go Terrace Marshall here because we've seen some fringe first round hype for him. And obviously 19 is probably one of the highest landing spots that we have seen. But with him being able to stretch the field and really play much more of a true go-to wide receiver role like we saw at LSU this year. Yeah, I mean, the entire offense struggled, but Terrace Marshall was truly a bright spot for them, and I think to prove that he is more than just deep speed, but he is also deep speed, and he's long speed because he's also a taller guy. And so with him on the same field as Terry McLaurin, I think that that's a really nice 1-2 combo for whatever your quarterback situation is going to be. And of course, they have to figure it out. But here at 19 with them sitting without a quarterback option, go a little bit different here and put Terrace Marshall to pair with Terry McLaurin.
I'm sweating after that one.
Yeah.
Terrace Marshall, top 20. Heavens to Betsy.
We're having fun here on a Wednesday.
That puts me at 20 with the Chicago Bears in a tricky spot. We've been very offensive line heavy early, and I think that's what they would like to do. Obviously, quarterback not an option for them as well. I'm going to go back to an oldie but goodie here. I comped Minnesota wide receiver Rashad Bateman to Allen Robinson during the summer. Fran Duffy of Eagles XOS did it first, but I think that that's a really good comp. I like it a lot. In the event that they lose Allen Robinson, which I the whole Mitch Trubisky thing's been fun, but I think that Allen Robinson's going to go get out of Chicago and try to get himself a quarterback.
Yeah.
With that considered, I anticipate you needing that wide receiver one for whoever your quarterback ends up being. So because there's no good quarterback at 20, get the wide receiver Rashad Bateman, build around him in the passing game. I think you'll be pretty happy with what you get.
All right, 12 picks to go, about 20 minutes to do it. But before we do that, look, college football bowl season, it's already underway. The NFL regular season is coming to a close. Playoff action is coming up. Ben and I, we, of course, have our previews and pick 'em podcast that we do on Thursday. And when we do that, there's only one place that has us covered and one place that we trust, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up for a free account today. whether you want to listen to what Ben and I say on Thursday's podcast or go completely the opposite, which we've already had somebody tell us they they completely picked against us for like 4 weeks in a row and they made a lot of money off of it. So go figure. You can sign up today for a free account over at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Same deal, all caps, one word, locked on. You will get a 50% welcome bonus on whatever you deposit. NFL games, college football games, NBA, NHL, MLB, whatever you want. Don't sit on the sideline anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code locked on when you sign up. You will get 50% of a welcome bonus back with whatever your first deposit is. So I'm up here at number 21 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They already took Trevor Lawrence, and some of the popular options aren't really here for them. Top three corners are off the board. They still could go that direction, but probably not. I think it's too early for Pat Freiermuth. I think it's too early for Brevin Jordan. Kyle Pitts is gone. Offensive tackle is where my eyes go to with the board the way that it is. And Liam Eikenberg is still here. I've talked about how I think that Liam Eikenberg has some athletic limitations and some just natural strength limitations, but I do think that he is such a solid offensive tackle prospect. He understands the position well. He has a great mental processing for it. Really has his technique well, understands what's coming at him. And so for that, I think that he is going to be a solid guy there. And they might be moving on from Cam Robinson. Depends what he is going to want in free agency. They're going to have a potential left tackle spot open up. And even if they don't, maybe they could draft the left tackle, kick Cam Robinson inside, strengthen up the interior, something like that. You're just trying to get the best five out there. So I'm going to go offensive line here with the Jaguars at 21. Liam Eikenberg.
I'm excited to watch Eikenberg because I have a feeling we're going to fight about Liam Eikenberg.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
We fight about a lot.
Yeah. Stick to your guns, brother. Cleveland Browns here at 22. The usual full send Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah already off the board a few picks ago. Thinking about doing something fun and new, looking at contracts, seeing where Olivier Vernon is a free agent. Yep. What'd he pay?
Ooh, Olivier Vernon. Nice, yeah.
Good easy. Hands, good size, thick dude, great against the run. Not dissimilar to who you're going to get when you draft Kwity Paye. I think that's a really nice way to get cheaper while staying cheaper and younger while continuing to get the quality play and consistent play that you expect. Paye is pretty pro ready, in my opinion, even though the biggest selling point on his profile is the athletic ability. So Kwity Paye at 22 to the Browns. Even if you bring Vernon back, good edge rushers, baby. They help out.
This one has been a very common mock draft pick. Think I was the first on this, but maybe I'm not. I'm not even like tooting my own horn on it. I just can't remember because I remember putting it as my mock draft and I saw it and I was like, I've never seen this before and I like it. And it is Zaven Collins and this pick going to the Miami Dolphins. And the reason why I like it so much is because we often think about Micah Parsons potentially going to the Miami Dolphins with a much higher pick. And with Zaven Collins here in this range, now, of course, there's no guarantee that he makes it to Miami every time. But if you use your earlier pick on something like wide receiver or corner or whatever you, not corner, wide receiver or like offensive line, I guess, is something that you could go with. You can leave linebacker to this later first round pick. Especially with a guy like Collins here, and you also have in your pocket people like Dylan Moses or Nick Bolton or Chaz Surratt, and they're like, you can get a good linebacker later, and that's, I think, my big point here. So if Zaven Collins is on the board at 23, 22, wherever you're picking, you pull the trigger. If he's not, I think you can still wait on linebacker, but he's here now, so I'll go Zaven Collins.
I like it. It's easy. Zaven Collins at 23. 24 now, the Baltimore Ravens. Ooh. Matt Judon and Yannick Ngakoue, both free agents. Joseph Osai, Aziz Ojulari on the board. Ojulari, let's do it. I'm a big fan of Aziz Ojulari. We're a big fan of Aziz
let's
on this podcast.
High quality
outside corner rusher. I think he makes a lot of sense if they lose Yannick particularly because he fills that role versus Judon. Maybe you want somebody a little bit more heavy-handed who has more of a speed of power if you want to stay in similar molds. With that said, Ojulari, 11 sacks combined over the last two seasons. You are betting on trades over production here a little bit. You do have to worry about that. I think that he's doing a much better job finishing at the peak of the pocket. It's just still pressures and not sacks. Something worth investigating if we're talking a first-round pick. But I got faith in him. I really like the eval and what I've seen him flash on Bulldog film. So Aziz Ojulari, 24, do the Ravens.
Well, I was going to pick whichever guy you didn't between Aziz Ojulari and Joseph Osai because the Tennessee Titans are up here at number 25. And we've talked about this on previous midweek mocks. I'm always trying to get another edge rusher opposite Harold Landry. I think that they need some more juice on that pass rush front. I love Jeffrey Simmons and what he's been able to do on that interior. I also love the idea of pairing another guy inside with him, potentially like a Jay Tufele, maybe a Christian Barmore, but you might be able to do that and get a nice one in this draft in the second round. And so I'm going to go Joseph Osai to get a really nice edge rusher who I think would complement what Landry does getting around the edge very well, as more of a stout guy who can really run through players and set the edge. And so I think he's a great complement to what Tennessee's got going on right now.
I like it. 26. Let's keep the edge. Wow. Okay. We've had three edges go in the last four picks, and I'm looking at Tampa Bay and I'm looking at Hamilcar Rashid. I'm like, let's get crazy, but let's not. Samuel Cosmi, offensive tackle out of Texas, smooth, controlled, athletic, long, going to be great on the outside.
Adjectives.
It's very interesting, right? Cause he's such a different profile than Tristan Wirfs, who's your right tackle. And so it is worth asking if you'd want to have guys of the same mold. I'm not sure. Would you go after Alex Leatherwood maybe then at left tackle? I'm not sure if they'll talk about moving Tristan Wirfs, given how good he's been at right tackle. And obviously the blind side versus the sight side is not as much of a conversation as it used to be. But with that said, I think Samuel Cosmi is the best tackle available on the board. I think that tackle remains the most pressing need for the Bucs, conditional on what they do in free agency, obviously. But I think that right now you really want to finish up with that offensive line. Tom Brady, such a different quarterback under pressure versus not. So let's invest in his offensive line, Sammy Cosmi, to the Buccaneers. Back-to-back Texas Longhorns there, brother.
Glad you didn't blow it there, because I gave you a treat with Penei Sewell with the Eagles, so there was a lot of pressure on you there to really nail it.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I think you got a good one. I think the Samuel Cosmi would be a really good pick. Justin Fields went at number 2 overall to the New York Jets, and here they are picking at number 27. Defense has been playing better. I still think corner is a really big need. But if you're investing in offense at the top, do you want to go another wide receiver? It's not an obvious one who's left. You could draft a guy like Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney. Chris Olave is still here. Olave and Fields, be able to reunite those guys in the NFL. Running backs, none of the running backs have been taken yet. Oh, man, this is actually tough. I thought I was going to go with Eric Stokes for sure, and I still might, but now I'm thinking a wide receiver. Ooh. No, you know what? I'm going to be a little bit different. I'll give a little bit of a throwback, because this is a guy who I really loved going into the season. It's been weird with him battling through so many injuries over the last 2 years. And even when he was back on the field this last time, I mean, he didn't look right, and he had the hip injury. And I don't know, man. I've still got faith for when he is healthy. The last time I fully believe we saw Rondale Moore fully healthy, he was one of the most impact players in college football. And so when you're getting a guy like Justin Fields, and he's coming in as the quarterback, you know that Ohio State loves to have those kind of security blanket kind of routes, right? Those guys that are meshing or digging across the middle, and they're just those easy dump-offs where it's like, hey, we're going to get it to this guy 5 yards out because he's going in a horizontal route, and we're going to see if he can make magic in open space. And let me tell you, 2 years ago when Rondale Moore was a freshman, there weren't many players who could make magic the way that he could. And so I got faith that that's still in there, and I really do think with a guy like Fields, this is a perfect recipe. This is just what the doctor ordered, if you will, getting him into the NFL and allowing him to be comfortable as soon as possible. So I'm going to go Rondale Moore for the Jets.
The man's willing to draft Kadarius Toney at 19, but he takes Rondale Moore before Kadarius Toney in the mid-20s.
Hey, listen, you know, like every team's got a different big board. You know what I'm saying? Like every team's going to see guys a little different. NFL draft.
28, Pittsburgh Steelers. I've been going through some film, and I'm slightly ready to make a take.
Does that mean we're going to hear it, or does that mean like you're going to make people wait a week?
Strap in.
Okay.
Buckle up.
Okay. All right. Click, click. I'm in.
Mac Jones. Listen.
I still got flung from the car after that, even after
if
buckling.
If you
in.
As a team liked Mason Rudolph, this is the slightly souped up version. This is the I know how to navigate the pocket version. This is the I can at least avoid the first rusher version. But like intermediate to deep ball placement, not the strongest arm in the world. Mac Jones' arm is better, but a willingness to push the ball vertical. give guys the ability to run under the football by quickly triggering on deep breaking routes. Not great athletic ability. Like I said, suboptimal arm strength. If you liked Mason Rudolph, Mac Jones is that but better. It's got more to it. It's got a better chance field processing-wise and pocket management-wise to be successful. It's not a one-to-one comparison, but look, it is to say.
Rudolph's not the answer. Duck Hodges isn't the answer. Roethlisberger is clearly falling apart at the seams, so I get it. I get the vision. I see it.
Right. It is to say that if you, for what this front office seems to like, size, toughness, downfield passing at the quarterback position, I think they're going to like Mac Jones. From what I've seen of Jones, Trask, Ritter, Mond, whoever you want, I think that Jones is the fifth best quarterback in the class. I think that he's your best bet to be the fifth quarterback off the board. Should the Steelers take Mac Jones at 28? No. But will they be the best candidate to take that end of the first round quarterback in their desperation? Yes.
Draft Michael Penix at 28 to the Steelers, you coward.
Felipe Franks, baby. Here we go. Big, strong arm. Fits the bill.
New Orleans Saints are here at number 29. And I wrote this up in a recent article where I was going over Kyle Crabb's second round of his latest mock draft. And one of the fits that I liked was Chris Olave, and the Saints got him in Kyle's mock late in the second round. I'm not going to go Chris Olave here. I'm actually going to go with Kadarius Toney. But in that little blurb, I said, you know, the Saints are a team that when I look at them, they have so few roster weaknesses that I often find myself looking at the Saints in a mock draft and thinking, what pick would piss off the rest of the league most? And I think that if Kadarius Toney is sitting here at 29...
Sounds like Sean Payton.
Right. And when I think about Toney sitting here at number 29 and... Look, you know, you've already got Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and sure, I guess the quarterback situation is a little bit different, but one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Adding a dude like Toney, who doesn't move like any other human I've ever seen in my life. I mean, like, this just feels like a Saints pick that pisses the rest of the league off for years and years and years. So that means that I think it's great, because it's what they've done for years, and they've been winners for years. So I'm going to go Kadarius Toney here at 29.
Man. When the Bills were at 22, I was getting Eric Stokes. Now the Bills are here at 30, and I'm Eric Stokes still on the board.
Would you say that you're stoked for it?
I was literally about to say I'm stoked.
No.
It's so cute.
I beat you too.
I apologize to those Bills fans who were like, wow, this is boring. They're keeping Eric Stokes. But also, you're picking 30th, and you have the best chance to knock off the Chiefs. So maybe, you know, your life is good enough right now that I'm allowed to keep picking Eric Stokes. If the Bills do have an untimely playoff exit, let alone a loss to the Chiefs, I imagine it will be because corner two remains the weakest point on their roster, in my opinion. You certainly could look at adding to the pass rush here, but with the run that we just had on edges, you're looking at Hamilcar Rashid, Jalen Phillips, Jason Owa, Carlos Basham as your best options. I'm not sure you want that value at 30. An interior defensive line, you know, you can go Jay Tufele if you want, but you're playing Ed Oliver at the three. You need him to be your impact pass rusher. So I think Eric Stokes is your best option to improve the defense. We've talked about the versatility. We've talked about the toughness. So many things that Sean McDermott values, Leslie Frazier likes in a corner. Eric Stokes has. I think it's a good fit.
I'm checking to see if I'm forgetting about a COVID guy that might be out or somebody who opted out this year.
Okay.
For the Green Bay Packers, who are up at number, what is this, 30? It's 31? 30?
31.
We only got two teams left.
NFC champions.
Trevor, you idiot. I'm gonna go Nick Bolton.
Yeah, I'm into this for the Packers. Yeah. I've been into this.
Nick Bolton's awesome. Nick Bolton is, I think, a fantastic linebacker that I really do think that you could plug in immediately for looking at their depth chart and what they have and what they're dealing with. I mean, like, Nick Bolton gives them such a boost at a position that they really need one. I look, you know, wide receiver. I guess it's still listed as a need that we have a TDN, but I mean, when Aaron Rodgers is playing the way that he is, you got Lazard, you got Davante Adams. I mean, shoot, you got Davante Adams. It's almost like, who else do you need? But like, they're already making things work throughout the offense on all levels. Aaron's already playing at MVP level. So I think it's almost got to be defense at the end of the first round. And so I think the linebacker helps him out a lot, especially a guy like Nick Bolton.
32. To the Chiefs. I'm going to hit the shuffle button on the mock draft machine and just they'll take whoever they want. We don't have a shuffle button on the mock draft machine. I should make that
but
clear.
But we could.
That would be sick.
It just draft somebody like ranked 1 through 600. Like you're just drafting guys that nobody's ever heard of.
It's like a handicap. Like the later the pick gets, the wider the range gets, and you just get random players coming through.
You got a left guard from FAU State.
Man, nobody's jumping out to me here, man. I mean, I want to take Chris Olave, but that's because I always want to take Chris Olave. I never don't want to take Chris Olave. Actually, wait for it. I'll do a way too early pick just because I feel like doing it. You ready?
Here we all right, go. Sure. Ready? Yeah, yeah. No, it's that kind of mock draft. Let's do it.
Pat Freiermuth. Now, right? You're saying to yourself, the offensive player of the year. In Travis Kelce, potentially.
Oh,
I think
my Lord.
Single season, first tight end over 1,400 receiving yards. Travis Kelce plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he does. And this year, he has taken a total of 570 snaps. Oh, no, wait. I'm adding the wrong lines together. He has taken a total of 400 snaps out wide and 400 snaps in line. So he alternates pretty much 50-50 mm-hmm. between lining up as a wide receiver and lining up in line. They're tight end two right now in Kansas City. It was Blake Bell last year in the Super Bowl run. And this year, I want to say it's Deion Yelder or it's the other white dude. Nick Kaiser, I think his name is. In other words, two dudes you don't really know much about. Two dudes you've never really heard of. They like to get funky with their fullback, Anthony Sherman. They like to use him in creative ways. Add another player who can line up as an H-back, who can line up as a fullback, who can line up out wide, continue to disguise tendency, continue to manipulate box counts, continue to attack matchup nightmares. Travis Kelce and Baby Gronk on the same team in Kansas City. Send it, brother.
I mean, he's not Baby Gronk. Let's take away the nickname right now because he probably never should have had that nickname other than him being giant and decently sized and wearing number 87. But he is a good prospect, and I do like the idea of this, nickname or not. I think that that's – you've already got an offense that has so much versatility in whatever they do. I mean, you throwing Pat Freiermuth in there and letting Andy Reid have all that kind of creativity with two different tight ends of that mold. I mean, that's – whew. Good luck covering it. That's – all of the picks in the first round that we have scheduled, but as I promised at the beginning of the podcast, we're giving you a little bit of a shout out to Los Angeles Rams fans. Their first pick as of right now is pick number 53. We got the Seahawks at 59, both those in the second round, and then Houston picks for the first time at 67 at the top of the third round. And so we've gone over this before, but we can go over it again. Picking at 53, God, I can't talk at the end of this podcast, for the Rams. They got trench needs. I think they got offensive tackle needs, interior offensive line needs that they could both address. They've got some edge needs, some true inside
linebacker.
Austin Corbett's
apparently been playing better for them. Brandon Thorne, who's a good guy, trench warfare, big offensive line dude, was like, hey, Austin Corbett's good now, which 2019 draft takes Ben would be very pleased if Austin Corbett ended up good.
Do you have him really high?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good for you. That's good for you and good for Brandon. I think offensive line... I guess left tackle. Well, yeah, because they got no boom there right now. I know he hasn't been playing great.
Right, and you got Witt coming off injury, and he's old.
Yeah, I know on the defensive side of things, they got Kenny Young, they got Reeder at the inside linebacker spots. Floyd, I just watched, and like Floyd's having a really nice year. He's going to kind of be like an up-and-down edge guy just because he's weird. It's not like he's going to be the sack master, but I think he's playing plenty well. If you want to get another edge on the opposite side, I think that could be an option. Who's some edges that might be left at 53? Patrick Jones, I think, could be there at 53.
That would
be a good pick, I think.
Yeah, I will say, like, Leonard Floyd's got 10 sacks in the year. He's been playing outside his melon.
Right, right. And I went back and I watched a little bit of Leonard Floyd and, like...
Oh, are you writing about Leonard Floyd this week?
No, I already did.
Oh, shoot, I missed it. I knew you had it on the schedule, and I was excited to read it. I didn't realize you'd already published it.
No, ooh, I mean, cool. Like, I think that he is having a great year. They are fully committed to just lining him up as a wide nine and either having him do these kind of, like, long loops up the A-gap, or he's just using his weird-ass body to dominate anytime somebody tries to single block him with a tight end or tries to like chip him or whatever and just not really block him with an offense. Like when he gets up against true right tackles or left tackles, I mean, he's not exactly winning one-on-one a lot, but he's a lanky, high motor pass rusher who's going to get you, I think, anywhere from like 5 to 9 sacks every single year. So like he's doing fine. Like he is what you would think that Leonard Floyd would be. Now, was that worth number 9 overall a couple of years ago when the Bears took him there? No, it wasn't. But I think it's worth it for what he is now with the Rams. So you know what, though? I'm great with the Patrick Jones if we're sticking with Edge. Shaka Tony also feels like a Rams kind of player.
I was about to say, Shaka, man. Line him up and sprint him.
Right. I mean, like having that same kind of effect, like on one side and the other with him and Leonard Floyd. Yeah. So we can talk
about. If you really want as well, like if run defense is important to you because they like to play with light boxes, Joe Tryon from Washington plays a run well. Sure. So does Hamilcar Rashid.
What about the Seahawks? Seahawks are a couple of picks after that. They're at 59. They got edge knees as well. Same thing, really. Trenches, interior defensive line, edge, offensive tackle, interior offensive line. I mean, like, those are
really worried the Seahawks are going to see their defensive performance from the second half of the year and be like, we don't need to make a pick on the edge. We're fine. Would be big danger.
Yeah, it would be super dangerous. I mean, Rashad Weaver could be a guy there. Sanders from Cincinnati, he's getting a lot of love. The edge rusher there.
My guy, yeah, keep play. They're the sort of team that would like Jalen Phillips too, if you're willing to take her.
I think he's there, right?
I wouldn't want to take the risk on him round one. I'd be more interested in taking the risk on him round two. Him, Basham, and then Dumukeji, the Duke edge as well. Over 260 pounds, ton of length, 6'4", 6'5". That's what they like in their, you know, LJ Collier, Rasheem Green mold. Allen Robinson's been playing pretty good for them in that mold as well recently. So that's fun for Alton, who is a good little fifth round pick for them.
And then 67's the Houston Texans. That's the last team that we'll talk about. We had a little fun talking about them. Hey, what if they had their first round pick at number 3 overall? Could take offensive line, could take the corners that are there. I still think that those are the big needs. You know, interior offensive line, potentially offensive tackle if they had that upgrade there. But corners also, you know, we talk about this every time we bring up the Houston Texans. It's just so dire right now. It's almost like they're hoping a Tyson Campbell or maybe even a Paulson Adebo is still there. If not, you're looking at Israel Mukwamu from USC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even like Elijah Molden and Kerry Vince Jr., who I like.
Nickels.
I mean, they're nickels. You mm-hmm. have to go after those outside CB types that might be mm-hmm. in this draft. And so it gets tough for the Houston Texans. It really does.
Yeah, it's going to be a BPA, right? It's going
to
be
I think it has to be.
Right, like, all right, we're probably good at safety, linebacker, everywhere else. You know, we could do for an improvement, and we have low pick caliber. And that's kind of what they did, you know, when they had those 3 third-round picks, and they went Justin Reed, Martinez Rankins, Jordan Akins, and obviously Rankin and Akins haven't necessarily panned out for them, but Justin Reed, they got a really, really good player. Where they didn't necessarily need a high-impact safety at the time, but it was like, this is the best guy that we're going to get. He dropped because of some of the concussion concerns, and so far he's been healthy and been great for them. So it's like kind of a cop-out answer, but at 67, knowing absolutely nothing about
right,
the draft, that's
right.
Right, you know, you just kind of wait for the board to fall to you and then start to make your plan afterward.
If you're picking for the first time at 67, yeah, you're basically just trying to get as much talent as you can out of this draft. Like, that's basically it. You're just trying to get as much talent as you can out of the hall. It does suck. It does suck. It's we got to save Deshaun Watson somehow. You know, let's set up a GoFundMe to get him a better team. I don't know if that works, but maybe you could donate and we could donate to the salary cap and maybe we can all do our part in helping one of the best quarterbacks in the league not ruin their best seasons while in Houston. I'm just hoping they get some better management so that thing can get turned around. We're going to be doing Houston for one of the Team Takeover Tuesday episodes. And that is going to be a challenge. I was going to say, at some point in this podcast, y'all gave us some incredible love on the first episode of the Team Takeover Tuesday with the Jacksonville Jaguars, where we went through the entire offseason, front office, coaching staff, free agents, roster reviews, a 3-round mock draft. We did that on yesterday's edition of the podcast, and y'all blew it up. You loved it. You have already given us suggestions and saying like, hey, do my team. We've got some Colts suggestions. We've got some Chicago Bears suggestions. I saw a couple of Lions ones as well. We're going to try to get to as many teams as we can. The love that you guys showed means that we need to keep doing these almost every single Tuesday. I said yesterday, I wasn't sure if we were going to make it every Tuesday, but I guess we are.
We're going to make
this,
it every Tuesday.
This is our thing. This is what we're going to do throughout the offseason. Tomorrow's episode, though, it's the final week. It is the final week of previews and pick 'em between Ben and I. I still think that Ben has a commanding lead. It's not an impossible lead to overcome, I don't believe. Because I do think that I stole a couple from you last week. But again, it's basically just going to be me trying to do word gymnastics and pick against Ben in every single way that I can to try to catch him in the standings before he gets crowned champion this year. So that's going to be a wild episode as I try to convince myself of games that should never happen. But it's always going to be a good time because it always is on this podcast. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.